This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Tuesday, March 4th, and I'm Megan McNamara for RCR's Daily Brief. Kicking things off, Paul Brennan is back with all the key updates from today's headlines. We'll hear a clip from an insightful interview with former Assistant Secretary General Ramesh Thakur on China's growing naval influence. Then we'll continue with the China theme and hear some commentary from RCR political analyst William McGimpsey about the tricky line New Zealand must walk in balancing its relationships between rival superpowers, the US and China. And to finish things off, we've got Natalie Cutler-Welsh and RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Despite voters electing a coalition government to push back against wokeness, the ideology has continued to expand across the public sector, professional bodies, and into wider society. Family First's Bob McCoskrey revealed that schools are still being instructed to keep students' preferred names, pronouns, and genders secret from parents, and that the government continues to listen to the radical Inside Out charity. Kiwi Bank has also reportedly promoted diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives to its staff. Meanwhile, ACT MP Todd Stevenson has highlighted growing ideological bias in several professional standards, saying they increasingly prioritised ideological alignment over competence. In other New Zealand news, the Māori Party has received a formal warning from the police for failing to submit audited financial statements to the Electoral Commission. The party's December 2024 statements were incomplete, missing required signatures and an audit report. Party President John Tamihere responded, saying, "Rest assured, the naughty natives always comply to the letter of the law." Health Minister Simeon Brown, alongside Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, announced new funding to improve access to general practitioners and primary care services. The package included 100 additional primary care doctors from overseas, incentives for 400 graduate nurses per year, and a digital healthcare service for online medical appointments. A damning report has exposed alleged theft, inflated contractor costs, and weak oversight at Wellington Water. It revealed poor financial controls and maintenance costs three times higher than comparable councils. Board Chairman Nick Leggett admitted to inadequate oversight, while Upper Hutt Mayor Wayne Guppy slammed the agency's resistance to scrutiny. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau raised US President Donald Trump's threats to annex Canada during his meeting with King Charles III on Monday. Their discussion followed criticism from some Canadians who faulted the British monarch, Canada's head of state, for his public stance on Trump's remarks. Speaking in London on Sunday, Trudeau emphasised the importance of defending Canada's sovereignty. Days after leaving the White House without an agreement, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country remained ready to sign a minerals deal with the US. The meeting with Trump last Friday was set to finalise a raw minerals agreement, but ended in a public confrontation. Trump later declared the deal off and accused Zelensky of disrespecting the US. Since then, Trump has rejected claims that the end of the war was still very, very far away. A man has used a car to kill at least two people and injure several others in the West German town of Mannheim. The incident occurred during the town's regional carnival celebrations, where police had been on high alert for security threats. Authorities detained the driver, a 40-year-old, who stated he acted alone. The attack was the second such vehicle ramming in as many months in Germany. And now for RCR Quicklinks. Police use of number plate spotting systems has skyrocketed to nearly 700,000 times a year, or almost 2,000 times every day. Health NZ has now paid out more than $33 million in redundancies, with more to come. The Ministry for Primary Industries has launched an investigation into school lunches served to children with plastic packaging melted into the contents, one of four food safety investigations underway into the troubled scheme. Export meat prices have increased more than import prices in the December 2024 quarter, which led to a 3.1% rise in the terms of trade. A pro-life professor has blasted Australia's state-run media for its treatment of a Western Australia Liberal Party candidate who said the state's abortion laws should be reviewed. The Trump administration has approved another $4 billion arms sale to Israel. And President Donald Trump has issued a directive allowing three cryptocurrencies, Ripple, Solana, and Cardano, to be stored in the newly formed Crypto Strategic Reserve. And that's RCR Bytes News for today. It's Tuesday, the 4th of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Now let's hear from Ramesh Thakur, who spoke to Paul Brennan yesterday on the issue of China's rising naval power after it carried out live-fire naval exercises in the Tasman Sea.
So what then are the messages that China is sending by deploying, to begin with, 500 kilometers offshore? And then I think in the case of Tasmania, it was as close as 150 kilometers and engaging in live fire exercises. We, meaning the allies, do this in contested regions in the South China Sea as well. So it's not as though they're doing something we do as well. But first and most importantly, the message is, the Chinese military will sail and fly anywhere it chooses to. It will be limited by its operational capability, not by considerations of historical presence and discomfort on the part of those at the receiving end. Second, it is prepared to fire long-range weapons, gather intelligence, assert its presence whenever and wherever it wants. Leading this flotilla was a destroyer. We now believe in Australia that its armaments included 2,000-kilometer range land attack missiles and 1,000-kilometer range ballistic anti-ship missiles as well. And we haven't got the capability to defend against that. Third, if they engage in live fire drill, we have no capability to resist. We have to bow down and accept that fact. And that means that we close the routes to air travel, air traffic and sea traffic, and wait until the exercise is over. Now, I'm assuming it was a deliberate diplomatic message alongside that, that they didn't go through proper authorities and give the advance notification. And our Prime Minister has, if you want to be polite, dissembled on that. He said, we learned at about the same time, I think his phrasing was, as the Virgin flight, which picked up in a communication, a general communication by the Chinese, that they're going to conduct this exercise and passed it on. And then I think the New Zealand ship that was there, we got the message 90 minutes later, not at about the same time.
That's not good enough, is it?
It's risking an accident. It's risking lots of lives. But then they've been firing flares at our planes that go on surveillance duty in their contest, in their claimed region as well. So I think the message is, despite this boast from Albanese and Foreign Minister Penny Wong that we have stabilized the relationship with China, that is not a concept that exists in China's diplomatic vocabulary.
Right.
We do have to remember China's historical, literary, philosophical tradition is not acting as a great power in a system of great powers. It is a middle kingdom exacting and expecting tributes from the lesser vassal states around it.
Okay.
So it's sending that very clear, not subtle message. We know your place. We hope you know your place. And if we both know where we stand relative to each other, not a problem.
If you'd like to hear more of this fascinating interview, including discussions on how Trump's bombastic style is rapidly changing the face of global strategic affairs, you can find it on our website or app. Now to round off commentary on the issue of China's rising power, here's William McGimpsey with his thoughts on this and New Zealand's precarious position. Over to you, William.
Things are heating up in the Pacific, with alliances hardening and the dividing lines between the US-led and China-led blocs becoming more clear-cut. This puts New Zealand in a somewhat difficult position. China is our biggest trading partner, and for years now we have made a big song and dance about our independent foreign policy. But the geopolitical dynamics seem to be forcing us into a position where increasingly we're having to choose sides. The Chinese approach to foreign policy, for hundreds of years, has been to bring surrounding nations into their power orbit and turn them into tributaries. The Belt and Road Initiative is thought by many Westerners as a Chinese trade and investment policy. But for China, trade, investment, geopolitics, and conquest have always been intertwined. China's deal with the Cook Islands should be thought of in this way. The Cook Islands are sort of, kind of, part of New Zealand, or at least within our sphere of influence. And now China, through this deal, is working to peel them away and bring them more into their orbit of power. This is sort of, kind of, a threat to our sovereignty. These are the sort of grey areas that Chinese policy aims to exploit to gradually bring more nations and a larger area within its control. This is the pattern throughout the Pacific, with China offering generous aid and investment packages that make Pacific islands increasingly reliant on them and more likely to do their bidding in matters of international diplomacy. At a certain point, this Chinese style of doing things requires that clear lines be drawn and a firm no be given in response. If not, they will quietly keep eating away, taking more liberties, and bringing more territory and nations in the Pacific within their power ambit and under their effective control. Drawing clear boundaries would push New Zealand further from China and more towards the US, probably require us to significantly increase our defence spending, and may come to threaten the billions of dollars in exports our country and our farmers earn from trading with China. And a closer defence relationship with the US-led bloc isn't risk-free either. The closer we get to that side, the more we will be asked to contribute money, manpower, and logistical support to US military adventurism overseas, and the more our foreign policy will come to be dictated by Washington rather than Wellington. Only in a rules-based international order can small states like New Zealand maintain complete independence, control of their own foreign policy choices, and sovereignty. Security competition between great powers threatens that rules-based order and pushes small states to seek the comfort of a security blanket from a larger protector. The question is whether in these challenging times New Zealand will be able to retain its independent foreign policy. Doing so will require great skill. Foreign Minister Winston Peters has his work cut out for him.
Thanks, William. Now it's time for Natalie with RCR Signpost.
Thanks, Megan. Big stories, bold opinions, and real action. Welcome to The Signpost. I'm Natalie with today's lineup and a little something for everyone. So let's get started. Paul Brennan and Ramesh Thakur, former UN Assistant Secretary General, an emeritus professor at the Australian National University, examined Chinese naval activity in the Tasman Sea and fast-moving geopolitical shifts affecting Australia and New Zealand. And also from across the ditch, Tim Wilms looks at the election lead-up and the consequences of mocking the national women's soccer team in the Wilms Report. Rodney Hyde chats to Hamilton City Councillor Andrew Bitter about the deep flaws in New Zealand's local governments, from excessive bureaucracy to poor leadership and wasteful spending. And in Rodney's reflections, he looks at what RCR means to you. If you missed Sunday's webinar, get the most from your garden and catch up on gardening with Wally. Wally Richards and Rodney Hyde share their best winter gardening tips and answer some excellent questions from participants. Just landed, Paul Brennan and consulting engineer Brian Leyland discuss our looming electricity crisis, and ACT MP Mark Cameron exposes New Zealand's hidden costs under the Paris Climate Agreement, while Diwa DeBoer talks to historian and theologian Paul Facey about Christianity in modern times. Finally, a reminder that Seamless Listening is here. You can enjoy continuous playback across all channels on the RCR app and website. Whether you're tuned in to latest RCR 360, editor picks, hosts and contributors, or RCR Express, just hit the play and let the content flow. No more stopping and starting. Back to you, Megan.
That's all from us today at The Daily Brief, your daily fix of news and commentary. As usual, you can find all the links to the interviews featured in this episode below. We hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll be back with another edition of the show tomorrow. Until then, see ya!